This is 92.1 WGHN, Grand Haven's favorite. I'm Mary Ellen Murphy. In the studio, we have Ottawa County Commissioner and Vice Chair. I know that. Josh Brueger, how are you?
Hey, morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Good to see you. I know that, you know,
I'm soaking wet, but I'm all right.
I know when you come in for an interview here on the radio station, I'm looking at other things. I'm just keeping track of time. I just want you to know that I am listening.
You're the time one. Okay.
Yeah, because when Sarah and I do a podcast, I completely turn my chair and face her the whole time. But when you're on the radio, you're kind of looking outside. You're looking behind you. You're looking at the time, and you're constantly moving forward and looking at all the time and how much time you have to talk. And we haven't had you in here, and I know you want to talk about your first 100 days, but I have to ask about the letter that Joe Moss sent to Grand Valley State University. What's going to happen with all of this?
Yeah, very interesting question. Joe, just for the background, for those who don't know, and I'm sure many do know in Ottawa County, Joe took the opportunity to write a letter to the president of Grand Valley State University, making some requests that align with the Trump agenda, if you will, on how to reform schools. And the unfortunate thing or the challenging thing for us is that he put it on Ottawa County letterhead. Right now, we've had a couple of meetings. Chair Teeples and I and a few other commissioners, along with the county administrator, Gary Rosema, and our legal department.
Okay.
And I will say this. I don't have a dynamic update other than we're continuing to look into it. I do believe that Chair Teeples and I will be sitting down with Joe in the next few days to discuss it a little bit further with him. And then we're going to look at ways to make sure that something like this does not happen again, or if it does happen again,
it's going to happen again.
It is. Joe is identifying himself as Joe, a representative of the people of Hudsonville, Jamestown, and Blendon Township, who elected him.
Sure.
And not as a representative of all the residents of Ottawa County, because the views held in that letter do not align with all 320,000 residents of Ottawa County. So, yeah, we'll be looking into ways to try to prevent this in the future.
Well, I think many people feel that you should have a public meeting and that he should have to apologize to the county.
Yeah.
People are really fed up, and they're tired of the little slap on the hand for 2 years. He said and did whatever he wanted, and there was no control.
Yep.
And now there is some control, and you need to rein him in.
Yeah, I think there is definitely. You've hit the nail on the head. There's pent-up frustration over the last 2 years from a large segment of the population. Ottawa Impact won roughly 37% of the vote when you look at it countywide. So 63% of the residents decided that wasn't their cup of tea. And so, yeah, there's definitely some pent-up frustration. So we've got to look into how to handle that.
Yeah, I I don't believe that you care about the students of GVSU. If you did, you would want them to practice, safe sexual practices. You would care whether or not they had sexually transmitted diseases. But instead, your ideology tells you that they shouldn't be doing anything at all. And I mean, people have had it. They've had it, Josh.
Which and Joe is welcome to communicate his ideology. Just
yes,
don't
he is.
Do it as a
you don't put it on company
Ottawa
letterhead.
County. There you go. You got it. Yep.
You don't do that. And a slap on the hand is not. It's not going to cut it this time.
I hear you, Mary Ellen.
Okay.
She's ready.
I'm just
to
telling
lay it
you.
Down right now.
Did you see all the people have been responding on Facebook to this, and they're just like,
"Oh,
that's just not going to happen."
Absolutely. Very frustrating.
How many days have you been a commissioner now? Has it been 100 days?
We've got to be near it. We were sworn in on January 2nd. Mm-hmm. It is now April 2nd, so we're at least at 90 some days. And yeah, we're nearing our first 100 days. It's a bit of a politician thing to say, I think. In my first 100 days, I will do the following.
Yeah.
But I think it is it's a good benchmark to review what you've accomplished, and I feel like we've accomplished much. Phil Kyers, District 9 representative, and I will actually be giving a community update on April 15 at 6:30 p.m. at the Spring Lake District Library.
Okay.
Open to the public. All are welcome to come. But we'll be discussing things like the interim county administrator, Gary Rosema, who's been doing an excellent job.
Mm-hmm.
Interim deputy county administrator, Ron Franz, our former prosecutor, doing a great job, former sheriff for Gary. We've brought in some additional staff who was on Ottawa County staff previously.
Okay.
We're able to scrape back a few people from Grand Rapids who had left 2.5 years ago.
Wow.
And so that's been a wonderful, wonderful adjustment for us. So, and we're trying to get back to business as usual.
Yeah.
As best we can. And it's unfortunate that things like Mr. Moss's letter come up that disrupt this.
Yeah.
You know, we really have been doing some great things.
Let's focus on a couple of them.
You know, a couple of great ones, especially for District 10, Grand Haven, Spring Lake, Ferrisburg residents.
Yes.
We actually just voted to allocate $1.2 million, somewhere between $1.2 and $1.3, for the new Rosie Mound park facility that's going to be expanded. Excuse me, Rosie Mound has been there, but it's going to be expanded.
Right.
Not one of those dollars came from the general fund. Those were from generous donors into the Ottawa County Parks Foundation. And so we're going to be adding a new pull-in, some new parking, some ADA-accessible restrooms, things like that, and connecting the new property with the existing property. So we've got a long trail for people to hike. We've done the same thing on the Itama Explorers Trail.
Mm-hmm.
That's a trail that is working to connect Grand Rapids with Grand Haven.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a trail that runs all the way from along the Grand River. And so we allocated some resources there, again, not from the general fund.
Right.
But so those are some of the cool things that are happening. We're expanding broadband access using ARPA dollars.
So important.
And I think ARPA dollars is maybe something we should talk about, because I know the president just, COVID dollars.
COVID dollars.
The president just said we're not doing those anymore. But at any rate, we're utilizing all the funds that we have at our disposal.
Okay.
Making sure that they get out to benefit the people in Ottawa County.
You know, I will say this. I miss Roger Bergman, but I just miss him on a personal level. You know, Roger. I'm so happy you're here.
I'm just happy to
I miss emailing him back and forth.
Yeah.
But he would come in after the meetings, because oftentimes, over the last couple of years, he couldn't really get a word in edgewise. He wasn't able to really speak what he wanted to, you know. And so he would come in and we'd go over it. And so now I think, the meetings, they're a little bit long, but I think that everybody does get a chance to speak. Everybody is heard.
Yeah.
And for the most part, when someone's not making faces or mumbling under their breath, for the most part, it seems to be very respectful.
It is, by and large. That has
changed a lot.
We have had a couple little blowouts here and there.
Oh, yeah. It's going to happen.
It's going to get a little bit heated.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a hybrid of the American system and the British system, where they're all in Parliament, Westminster Abbey, and having some intense debates every now and again.
Yeah.
But it's a democracy is messy. It's a good part of it to have those openly and publicly so that everybody knows where you stand on issues. But one of the things that Chair Teeples and I were very passionate about was making sure that all commissioners, regardless of your political affiliation, have the opportunity to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And so adding on comments, adding back comments from commissioners at the end of meetings was something that was very important to us.
Okay.
And then making sure that we recognize everybody along the way, that the chair recognizes everybody along the way as conversations take place. So, we are able to get words in.
There's micromanaging going on.
Well,
there's a little bit of that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's all right.
And it kind of makes the meetings go on and on and on.
It absolutely does.
Yeah.
And you're speaking to an event where one of our commissioners took issue with a few items that were on the consent agenda.
Yeah.
Traditionally, the consent agenda has items that are pretty easy for everyone to approve.
Okay.
They meet the county policy for purchasing or whatever it may be. In this instance, the county has a policy that anything $70,000 or less, we pre-authorize staff to go ahead and sign and expend those funds. And some of those items end up on our agenda for what we call a post-ratification. In other words, they've already been approved. They've already been vetted on five different levels through the county, and they meet all the criteria for staff to be able to spend that money. Robert's rules do allow a commissioner to pull one or two items from that list
and debate it
a little bit.
Okay.
So we're looking for ways to try to dial that down. I've encouraged my fellow commissioners to reach out to staff ahead of meetings so that we don't have to have 4.5-hour meeting marathons.
Yeah.
I'd love to get them back down to about 2 hours, and we are moving in that direction.
But I hope so.
We've got more work to do.
I hope so. What commissions are you on?
Oh, yeah. So another thing that Tier Teeples and I were very passionate about was making sure that
everybody was represented, and every commission was represented by commissioners.
Yeah, every commission was – every a board was represented.
Yeah.
Every commissioner had an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
When Ottawa Impact was in charge, it was roughly a 5-to-1 ratio.
Yeah.
If you were an Ottawa Impact commissioner, you sat on 5 committees. If you were not, you sat on an average of 1.
Yeah.
We redistributed that. Everyone sits on 3-to-4 committees, sometimes 5, but it's much, much more equitable. I sit on the Appointment and Alignment Committee, Spring Lake Lake Board, Lloyd's Bayou Lake Board.
Nice.
the West Michigan Regional Development Committee, which Roger Bergman sat on.
Okay.
The Foreign Trade Zone, Kent, Ottawa, Muskegon Foreign Trade Zone. I think I've got one other committee that I'm probably forgetting in the mix there. But I'm going to tell you something interesting.
Yeah.
Kent, Ottawa, Muskegon Foreign Trade Zone.
Uh-huh.
I did not know this existed and that this was a tool that our businesses can use. You can, as a business, create a foreign trade zone around your company. It's a legal, I'm going to call it legal technique to create essentially your company being a foreign government so that when goods come in, mm-hmm. this is important because of tariffs, when goods come in, for example, from Canada, mm-hmm. you pay duties when they come through,
mm-hmm.
But you don't have to pay them twice as long as you bring them into your foreign trade zone and you don't pay a tariff on those goods until they leave your foreign trade zone. Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
So we actually have one. Kent, Ottawa, and Muskegon set this up. There's actually a facility in Grand Rapids.
You're kidding me.
Where you can do this. Companies do this. Yep.
Wow.
That's mind-blowing. And I believe there's at least one company in the city of Grand Haven, I think it's GHSP, that is actually set up as its own foreign trade zone.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm going to have to look into that.
Look into
then.
That one
I will
a
look
bit more.
Into that. Yep. It's funny. I got a text from an old journalist friend. I can't read exactly what it said, but she said, I covered this 4 years ago that the Campbell plant was closing. What on earth is going on?
Yes. The Campbell plant is closing. It's scheduled to close at the end of May.
Yeah.
I think it's May 31.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure the exact date. But yeah, 4 years ago, you're absolutely right. The Consumers Power and the Campbell plant facility went through a long, long process
yeah.
to receive approval to shut down the plant.
Right.
They were approved. And what ended up happening for us.
Yeah, what did you guys
yeah,
do?
We did, so we had a number of individuals in the public. And actually, I took a look at some documentation from some independent agencies that measure energy supply.
Mm-hmm.
It's called NERC. I don't remember what the acronym stands for, but NERC. You're welcome mm-hmm. to Google that.
I will do that right
yep.
now.
Go they ahead. Did a report toward the end of last year that said, hey, the MISO grid, which is the grid that Michigan is on, goes all the way up into Canada and all the way down into Louisiana, is one of, I think it's 9 grids
yeah.
we have
Ow.
That's in the United States that is at a higher level of risk.
I just hit my head on the microphone. Go ahead. Okay. It is. It's North American Electric Reliability Corporation.
There you
All right, go ahead.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
That was established in the 60s after a blackout on the East Coast. And they said, hey, we want to make sure this doesn't happen again. So
right.
that group was started. They looked at all the grids in North America and they determined that the grid that our power is on is actually at fairly high risk for energy shortages. And so we, as a commission, said, hold on a minute. We know that you approved this 4 years ago, state of Michigan and the MISO grid.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to ask you to take a second look at it.
Okay.
Has anything changed in the last 4 years from the time you approved it? Should we be keeping it open a little bit longer? Are there enough supplies? We sent that letter off to them, a proclamation. They've evaluated it. We're told they're going to give us a written response. But the indications that I'm getting are, hey, we're not worried about it. It's going to be fine.
I wonder if there's going to be protests and stuff.
On
I'm
who
serious.
You listen to and whether you trust that. But we very much feel that our job and our responsibility as commissioners,
commissioners.
Was to ask them for a second look.
And so that's why you did
that's
that.
That's why we did that.
All
Absolutely.
Right. One last thing, and I'm not going to – it's diversity, equity, and inclusion. I get really tired of hearing DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion. Say the words.
If we could pull them apart, I think we'd be it'd be a lot less volatile. But once the acronym was formed and
– Yeah. Well, how do you feel? We've never really talked – you and I haven't talked about diversity,
yeah.
equity, inclusion.
No, it is a challenging topic because of it's become a bit of a dog whistle. For the right-wing groups that are not happy with certain aspects of it. When I sit down and talk with them, not everyone, can't say I speak for all of them.
No,
all
I know.
The right-wing
group
there, but a few individuals.
Mm-hmm.
What they have shared with me, and I tend to agree, is that when DEI turns into affirmative action or reverse discrimination, that's when we have an issue with it. And I have an issue with that, too, and I think everybody else would. The problem is, or the reality is, a huge number of DEI programs had nothing to do with discrimination, nothing to do with affirmative action. They just had to do with raising awareness that we are better when we're diverse. We're mm-hmm. better when we include people. We're better when we look for opportunities for equity to help people out. When somebody's got a wheelchair,
that
let's
got
make
lost.
Sure they got a ramp. All those types of things. Those got lost in the mix.
It did.
Yeah. And if we can figure out a way, I've said this in previous interviews, to get DEI 2.0, and it won't be called DEI, it'll be called something else. Maybe it's just diversity and inclusion. Maybe it's, I don't know. It's going to be, that's way above my pay grade and ability to come up with it. But there are valuable aspects of DEI that we need to be able to pull out and still complement and look, because they improve us as a society.
I would agree. And I think merit, I'm out of time, but merit is subject to the person deciding.
It could very well be. Yeah, absolutely. But if we're going to do something on merit, we've got to make sure, here's an equity example. If you've got a man and a woman who have applied for a job, they're both qualified for the job, they get the job, they should be paid the same amount based on their merit, their ability to do that.
Yeah.
That's what equity is, and that is not a bad thing.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Mary.
Vice Chair Commissioner Josh Brueger.